Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I'm a little worried we're going to kill Violet Snail when you're in Minnesota.
I don't think you can kill the snail. It's so easy. You just, like, give it algae and keep water in the tank. It might climb out sometimes, but just put it back in.
Does it have a name, by the way?
Yes, Nala. Her name is Nala.
Nala. Okay. Well, if not, we'll replace Nala with another Nala.
She'll never know the difference.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In today's episode, we're going to examine whether our goals are aligned with how we're spending our time. It's way too easy to get caught up doing things that don't serve our end game.
And then we'll talk about catastrophizing and the recent reminder in our own lives that it's just not worth doing. In our new Amplify segment, we'll talk about a book by a fellow TV writer and then one of the best TV shows we have seen in ages, Vita.
If, like us, you haven't had a pedicure since March, this week's Hollywood hack will be life-changing, or at least feet-changing. But first, Sarah, quick update. I wanted to tell everybody that I was a guest last week on Morgan Simpson's podcast, which is called What's Running You? We talked to Morgan on Happier in Hollywood in episode 127 about his book, What's Running You? And this podcast is a companion to it, and he has a lot of great conversations. Hopefully, he had a great conversation with me. So we will post a link to that in our show notes. One thing, Sarah, in Morgan's book that I love is that he says everybody should have a personal board of directors.
Yes.
Who you consult. So you're definitely on my board of directors.
And you are on mine as well. Okay, Liz, it is time for From the Treadmill Desks Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week, it's a question. Are your goals and your time aligned?
Yeah, and this question came up for us recently because we realized we needed to examine our own schedule and determine if we're spending our time wisely.
Yes, we are developing right now, and we've talked about this before, but when you're developing, it means you have to go down a lot of different roads, and some of the roads are very long and lead nowhere, which can be super frustrating, and things pop up all the time, different projects, there's a book, there's a foreign format to watch, there's a reboot of an old show, it's just like lots of things are coming at you, and
yes.
Each one requires a certain amount of time, some just a little and some a lot.
Yeah, it can be anywhere from 5 minutes to 5 days to 5 weeks, and it can lead to a show or it can lead nowhere. So what we've realized is it's easy for us to get caught up in short-term thinking and spend a lot of time working on something that if we step back and look at it in terms of our bigger goals in our career and our life, it may not be something we even want to spend time on.
Right. And it's hard because many projects we can just say no to very quickly.
Right.
But many projects pop up and you're like, well, we really love this producer, or we really love this network executive, or it's a big splashy title. There's something about it that's really compelling that makes it seem like, okay, for a variety of reasons, this could be a good thing to do. But you have to say, wait a minute, is this worth the 45 minutes to an hour of a meeting? Is it worth an afternoon to talk about the the meeting beforehand? Is it worth a day or weeks? Is it worth a year? And is it aligned with where we ultimately want to be going?
Yeah, because we realized we were sort of asking ourselves the question of, should we take this meeting? Should we spend an afternoon thinking about this idea? But we weren't asking ourselves that question in the context of our bigger goals.
Right.
And so once I think you pointed out, well, wait, does this, we were talking about something and you said, well, how does this serve our bigger goal in our career? And when we really stopped and looked at the question in that context, we realized we shouldn't spend any time talking about it at all, basically.
Yeah.
And then we go, okay, that quickly we realized that's the most important question.
Right.
And we need to ask ourselves that every single time.
And it wasn't an easy decision to make. This was the specific thing we're talking about was a straight to series, like potentially just like you pitch and go straight to series, which is obviously very compelling.
But very compelling.
But when we looked at it in the big picture, it just wasn't what we want to be doing. And the time that it would have taken to get there would have taken us away from the things that we really do want to be doing that are aligned with our goals.
Yeah, we really realize we don't want to get caught up in short-term gain at the expense of our bigger picture.
Yeah.
And so when it comes back to that question of aligning your time and your goals, because time is finite. So we just said, okay, from now on, let's only spend time on things that are going to further us down the path toward our goals.
I feel like this honestly could be one of the biggest realizations we've ever had and could lead to the most benefit.
I 100% agree. It seems so obvious, but it's really not when you have bills to pay and pressing concerns, which we do. So this is not easy.
No, it's quite risky in a lot of ways. Yeah.
This goes back to riding the dragon, really.
We are. I mean, we are on that freaking dragon.
Yes, our development motto. But I was thinking it doesn't just apply to us as TV writers. I mean, this applies to someone, say you want to go back to school. You should be aligning your time with things that ensure you can go back to school. If you are someone who has a side hustle and you want to turn that into your career, you should spend time on things that lead toward that goal.
Absolutely.
I mean, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, this question is relevant. And it's relevant also in our personal lives.
Yes. I
mean, even more so, probably.
Absolutely. No, we, as a Hollywood hack a couple weeks ago, said, like, do one thing every week. Mm-hmm. About, you know, that's important to you, towards something that's important to you. And of course, that's actually very hard to do. So one of the things that I've decided to do when I get to Minnesota is start instituting the Pomodoro method and having Pomodoros, I think they're called the 25-minute blocks of work, that are specifically set toward personal things, like a 25-minute block once a week that is just about reconnecting with people I haven't spoken with, a 25-minute block once a week that is about sending postcards and calling senators. So I actually have those things scheduled in so that in a personal way, my time is aligned with my goals.
Yeah, I was also thinking another way to stay on track with this, Sarah, would be to monitor how time is being spent.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, we pay attention to what we monitor. My sister, Gretchen Rubin, is always pointing that out.
Yeah.
And so if you write down, oh, I'm spending 30 hours a week on something that I really don't even want to be doing, it'll stop you from doing that. So that's another thought. But I want to know from our listeners, is the way you're spending your time in alignment with your goals? If not, can it be? And how can it be? I want to know. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Coming up, we talk about a recent reminder that there is no point to catastrophizing. But first, this break. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Sarah, it's time for our Take a Hike segment where we talk about physical, mental, and spiritual health. And today it's mental health. Remember, don't catastrophize.
Yes. We have talked about the notion of catastrophizing before. The definition of catastrophizing is when someone assumes that the worst will happen. Often it involves believing that you're in a worse situation than you really are or exaggerating the difficulties you face. And like we are 100% guilty of this.
Yes, I know. I think I'm especially guilty of it. Not the thinking the situation is worse than it is, but the part where you're imagining the worst will happen.
Yeah.
We know it never helps to catastrophize.
Never.
I can't think of one time where it's been benefit. Even if the worst does happen, it's still not helpful to catastrophize.
No, no. It just makes you more stressed for longer. That's all it does. And recently we had this experience and had this awareness renewed for ourselves.
Yes.
Because the WGA and the AMPTP, which is the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, were negotiating a new contract, which is a thing that happens every 3 years. It's always really stressful. It means there's the potential of a writer's strike. And every 3 years, we catastrophize.
Yes. We're like, if there's a strike, what are we going to do? How long is it going to last? We won't have work. It's going to be horrible. I mean, now I will say we have reason for this because one time we did go on strike in 2007 and it was horrible, although it was necessary. Now this time we had, so here we had this prime catastrophizing situation, but the prospect of a strike right now during this pandemic was so horrific that both of us, every time it came up, just said, we can't even handle that prospect. We're not spending a moment thinking about it because, like, we just can't even deal with it was so bad, we couldn't even catastrophize.
Yeah, we just rejected the notion and moved on.
Yeah. So anytime one of us brought it up, the other one just shut it down. And cut to good news. It seems we've reached a deal. There is not going to be a strike. And we kind of had this moment with each other where we said, I'm so glad we didn't waste hours of our time laying awake at night, et cetera, worrying about a strike because it just didn't happen and it wasn't anything to worry about.
Yeah. And again, this is one of those lessons we have learned before, and we will probably learn again. But I think this was so salient for us because we have catastrophized about this particular thing so many times.
Yes.
And we really realize it's just so pointless. It's not something any individual has control over.
Right.
So what is the point? And I hope that it will make us more aware of catastrophizing on things large and small moving forward. So we can just say, are we catastrophizing? Let's not catastrophize.
Yes. If we don't get a certain phone call we're expecting, let's not go to, oh, the person's changed their mind. They don't want to do the project. Let's just wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
We don't need to spend a lot of time thinking about it, analyzing it, or worrying about it.
Because catastrophizing is not a good use of our time and does not align with our goals.
No, it does
our
not.
Our segments intermingle.
Yes. Oh my God, you're right. And Sarah, it's good because you and I can keep each other in check.
Yes.
And so that accountability is so important. I wanted to issue an invitation to our listeners, okay? Whenever you find yourself starting to catastrophize, and goodness knows there's plenty of opportunity to do it right now, log onto our Facebook group, you just search for Happier in Hollywood in Facebook to join the group and express what you're trying not to catastrophize about. And we will send you a message of encouragement. Okay. And I'm sure other listeners will send messages of encouragement to each other. So let's help each other out. Let's stop catastrophizing together.
I love this. This is such a great idea. Okay. Messages of non-catastrophizing support.
Yes.
Okay, next we're moving on to our new segment, Amplify, in which we highlight the work of women and people of color. And this week we're going to start with a book from a fellow female TV writer.
Yes, we want to tell everyone about the new novel, The Spinster Diaries by Gina Fattori. Gina has written on shows like Dawson's Creek, Gilmore Girls, Californication, Parenthood, and one of my all-time favorites, Masters of Sex. Sarah, it's really hard to put out a book right now during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we are giving special love to all of our novelist friends. But The Spinster Diaries is described as a semi-autobiographical, unromantic comedy. I liked that description. I loved it because the main character is a TV writer, and I totally related to the way she talked about the job. It wasn't like glamorized or romantic. It was just very much what it's like to be a TV writer.
The grunt work.
And it starts with her finding out that she's got a brain tumor that she can either live with or have removed. So as you can imagine, that sparks a lot of anxiety for a neurotic TV writer, which she deals with by writing like a spec show Bible about an 18th century novelist and diarist named Frances Burney, who, I didn't know this, but basically invented the chick lit novel, you know, in a manner of speaking. So it's just a fun book. It's in LA. It's if you're interested in being a TV writer, it's fun to read about a TV writer. And once again, it is called The Spinster Diaries.
And then we also want to tell you about a show that we are both totally obsessed with.
Yes.
It's called Vida. It was created by Tanya Saracho. It's on Stars. You can also find it, I believe, on Hulu. I've been watching it on Hulu. It's about two sisters who return to their home in Boyle Heights after their mom dies, and they discover that their mom had a wife, and the family bar is underwater, and they stay to save the bar, and it's just brilliant. Like, it's just unbelievably brilliant, every single episode.
Yeah, the cast is amazing. I love every single person in the cast. And it's really exciting because all the writers and directors are Latinx. And we think the first season, it's all women directors.
Yes. And they're so good.
Yes. It's directed beautifully. It's written beautifully, acted beautifully.
Even the costumes are amazing.
Yes. You and I have been talking about, especially one of the characters, the younger sister, her workout outfits. I didn't know there could be workout outfits that like are worth talking about, but hers are worth talking about.
Yes. I literally sit around and I'll find myself thinking about these red exercise pants she's wearing with like cutouts on the side. And I'm like, where did they come from? They're
amazing. They're insane. It's insane. I binged all 22 episodes in like 2 days. Like, you told me about this show and I just went so deep, so fast. I absolutely love it. So check out Vida, created by Tanya Saracho.
Coming up, we've got a Hollywood hack that will help make your feet flip-flop ready. But first, this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Sarah, it is time for this week's Hollywood hack, foot peels. Now, before we continue, fair warning that this is a somewhat gross conversation.
Yes.
People might consider it TMI. I don't think my mom will enjoy this conversation. but we're willing to reveal our dry feet issues for the sake of our listeners.
Yes. Now, prior to the pandemic, I was getting pedicures like every 2 or 3 weeks. It's just like a thing that I do because my feet can get super disgusting.
Same.
And then suddenly you can't go. And I mean, Violet was just like making fun of my feet nonstop. Just like, your feet are so gross.
Well, then you told me about these foot peels. You said you get this mask for your foot and you put it on. And then a few days later, all the skin peels off, revealing this beautiful baby soft skin underneath. I was very skeptical. I did not think such a thing was possible over the counter.
Right. And then you did it and you were still skeptical for days.
I was still skeptical because it says on the pack in 3 to 7 days, your skin will start peeling. And mine didn't start till like the night of day 6.
Yeah, no, I talked to you on like day 5 and you were like, it's not working. It doesn't work. My feet are so bad that it's not even going to work.
Yeah. And then, you know, magic happened and I looked down and there it was peeling off the night of day 6. So I just did my second one. I'm waiting for the peeling to begin. But this is like a real game changer.
Truly is. No, I just ordered a new set. They usually come, I think, in packs of 2. But I'm not having anything shipped to my house because we're about to go to Minnesota. So they'll be waiting for me when we get there.
Now, I should mention, I don't know which one you got. I got the Demora foot peel mask for baby soft feet, and it was about $30 for 2 sets. So $15 a time. And we will link to that in the show notes.
And I don't know which one I got because they were a gift from my friend Catherine, and I have since thrown away the box.
Ah, well.
So get the ones Liz got.
Yeah,
I'll be getting those.
It works.
And that's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. We love to hear from you. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Thanks to our executive producer, the amazing Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13.
And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project. Check out the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Side Hustle School, and Do the Thing from Whole30's Melissa Urban. And check out the newest Onward Project podcast, Everything Happens with Kate Bowler.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at Liz Craft and Sarah is at S Fain. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation and for your catastrophizing accountability.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Liz Craft. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Chuck, how are your feet? Do you need a foot peel?
They're perfect, of course.
Do men foot peel?
All right. Okay. Well, they're cracked. Sometimes they get cracked. So I guess that might be peeled.
No, this would help.
You could use a foot peel, I'm sure. Anyone can.
I think we should ask Amanda this question.
Yes. Yeah, we'll ask her opinion.
From the Onward Project.